Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This morning I'm going to speak about transgenderism. It's such a big social issue in the West. I hear so much talk about it. I thought I should speak on it from the platform of the eternal Vedic spiritual wisdom, as I've understood it. Excuse my lack of sensibility. I'm not aware of all the microaggressions and macroaggressions, and I'm not very much aware of all these things, having been born in a different time, a different era, and lived all my life in the backward country, India. They call it backward. I'm from that despicable species of white male Anglo-Saxon background, so please excuse me. What I understand about transgenderism, I don't really understand it, but that I must admit, from a little wandering around on the internet, is that someone who is born as a female feels like a female, or vice versa. Some transgender people cross-dress. That means a male dresses a female. It's more difficult for a female to dress as a male because what used to be considered male dress is now fully acceptable for females. And when men dress as females, they could just do that by wearing male dress. But when they do dress as females, they really do it to an extent that women themselves don't do it. I mean, super feminine to the verge of being ridiculous. And drag queens and this and that. And also the philosophy or the rationale behind transgenderism is that gender is a social construct which you don't have to conform to. It does seem ridiculous to myself, because when a child is born, in the days before they had pre-delivery sonography and all these kinds of things, you'd be waiting to see what gender the child is. It's a boy! It's a girl! I guess you're not supposed to say that anymore. So it's gender is defined by the body according to everyone until recently. It is true to some extent. I was raised in this lifetime in a culture in which being a male is definitely more of a macho role than it is in general in India, where I've lived most of my life. There's a level of aggressiveness. In fact, that was a very common word as I was growing up. Aggro. Do they still use that word? Aggro. No. That was particularly associated with skinheads. They go around and give people aggro and go paki bashing. You know what paki bashing is? Pakistanis beating them up. This kind of thing skinheads did. I wasn't a skinhead. I am now. This was, like this was skinhead. So it is true to some extent that gender is a social construct, but generally it's understood that according to the genitalia, one is classified as male and female, and the male is the one that penetrates, and the female is one that is penetrated, and they use that for plugs and sockets also, right? And it may be in so many other usages also. Apart from, I was talking about the men cross-dressing. I don't know, I'm sorry if that's a wrong word now. I really don't know all the proper, politically correct language. I'm not saying that to put anyone down in particular. But apart from men dressing as women, it's more difficult for women to dress as men. It's more difficult for women to imitate or identify or act as men, because women are more or less like men anyway in their behavior and social roles. It's strange that men want to become like women when the women already became like men. So what do they need to become like? What do they need to identify as a woman for? That's what I see. And the women don't have to identify as a man to be a man, because they're already all the way there, pretty much, apart from reproduction, which is only done in a woman's body. And you can imagine or identify, a man can identify him or herself as a woman as much as they like, but they're never going to give birth to babies. And that's one thing about transgender with operations and injections. The male body can, to a large extent, change to be something like a female body, and vice versa. But all sexual, it's a funny thing that you want to change your gender, which means change your sex, but you can't have sex. You become sexually disabled. I think I'd like to change, but then you can't change back. It seems to be something like a child want to try something out or take a different identity. But this is at least as far as the body is concerned, it's not a game that you're playing around with. And that's why, it's like children playing with a new toy. They play with it for some time, then they get fed up of it. But you can't do that with, once you take the decision to change your body in that way, to fiddle around, mess around with your body. That's why it's particularly horrendous that children, before their thought processes are anywhere near mature, they're being propagandized or pushed into changing their gender. And it really messes their life up, in as much as they won't be able to give birth to children, either as a male give the seed or as a female receive this seed and give birth to children. Most people wait till they're a little older to mess up their life, but they're doing it to children just at the beginning of their life, messing up their life. So my overall assessment is that transgender people are really messing up their life. Don't get me wrong, I don't have anything against them. We're not trying to put everyone down or anyone down. We're trying to lift everyone up spiritually, whatever their situation may be, whatever they may have done in the past, whatever they identify themselves as. And it's true that not only are transgender people messing up their lives and spoiling their lives, but pretty much everyone is. Even if you are what might be called normal people, whatever that might mean. But everyone is missing the real point of life, is that we're not these bodies. We're not male or female. We're not intrinsically male or female because we get body after body after body. And according to our karmic reactions in previous lives, we get a body. We might be messed up psychologically, and it's a very common thing at the present time that people are messed up psychologically. So they can't fit in. They don't know where they don't know where they belong. They don't know whether they're this gender or that gender. That's something that they brought from a previous life, and then in this life, the whole way of life is so bad that many people from the beginning of life, they have such bad experiences, such horrendous experiences, that they're really messed up psychologically. But whatever it may be, we have to come to the platform of actual understanding, is that I am a spiritual being. That is the first teaching of Bhagavad Gita. Is it there in Vedanta, Vedanta Sutras? Where does it say in Vedanta Sutras, you're not the body? Doesn't even say it, because it's just understood. It's the PhD class. In the PhD class, you don't teach 2 plus 2 equals 4. So it's atato brahma jignasa. Now we should inquire into the ultimate Brahma, and that means atato now. That means after going through all this karma and karma kanda, and after trying to enjoy ourselves in the material world, life after life, now we should come to the spiritual platform. But that point is missing in what we call civilization. And it's the cause of so, probably every problem we have is, we can say two things. One thing is, we don't understand who we are. That's transgenderism, isn't it? But no one understands who they are because we think we're the body. And not understanding our relationship with God. But you can put them all in one packet. We don't understand who we are. So the whole society is messed up because it's missing this point that human life is meant for spiritual uplift. It's not meant for enjoying the body. The first thing we're supposed to understand is that we're not the body. You're not that body. I'm not this body. This body's changing all the time. Very, very slowly, imperceptibly, but it's definitely not the same body as I had when I was 5 years old. I was 5 years old. I means the body? No, because that body's gone. But when we don't understand we're the body, then, yeah, so many problems arise. We try to enjoy the body, and particularly that comes to sensual enjoyment, sexual enjoyment. And because in contemporary society there's no understanding of this basic point that we're not the body, and due to identification with the body, we get body after body, but this is suffering, which we should come out of by understanding our spiritual position. Because this basic understanding is missing, therefore the whole society is based on trying to enjoy the body, which is why in contemporary society there's so much emphasis on sex. It's just ridiculous. I mean, sex is there, it's part of life, it's part of the human experience, but it's so much overemphasized. But that drives us down to the monkey platform, because the monkeys don't have any higher understanding. They're interested in sex and fighting with each other and monkeying around. That's what monkeys do. The human shouldn't be like that. It's thinking with the genital instead of with the brain. Or the brain is driven by the genitals. But really, the intelligence should control the sensual desires and channel those desires into devotion to God, devotion to Krishna, into higher consciousness, and not drag ourselves down. In one sense, it is very good to be discontent with our present identity. Someone's born in a male body, calling it a male body, because it has the genital which is can penetrate a female body. So if someone feels discontent with that identity, in one sense that's good. Because to be discontent with our identity should lead us to think what is our real identity. If we are everyone's discontent with their real identity, everyone's discontent with their false identity. So everyone in material existence is discontent. That's why we're always trying to get something more. And I have to get the latest iPad, and then that will make me better. I have to get more money, and that will make me better. I have to wear my hair in a different style, green and purple. That's out of date now. But anyway, I have to do something different because I'm not happy as I am. But if this sense of discontent with our identity, unless we come to the point of understanding that my real identity is spiritual, as an eternal servant of Krishna, of God, then that the discontent with our identity leads us to body after body after body. I don't want to be like this. Okay, then you can be, there's 8,400,000 different kinds of identities which we can have. Why transgenderism? Why not become why not think, well, I'd be better off as a frog? Some people think I'd be better off as a dog. Dogs seem to have a happy life, at least in this country, if they have a good master. It's a bit different in India. Most of the dogs are out on the streets. But they don't have to go to work. They don't have to pay taxes. It's worth becoming a dog just to avoid taxes, right? No? No loans. All you have to do is lick your master and he'll pat you on the head and give you some dog food to eat. So this desire, the desire to be happy in this world with a material identity, drives us from body to body to body. And even within the human body, it's what drives material progress. What is called material progress means making more and more facilities for sense gratification. That's why America is considered the topmost civilization in the world. At least in America, people think like that. because we have got the biggest buildings. What's the tallest building in the world right now? I think it's in Dubai, isn't it? Yeah. Burj Khalifa. But it was America that set the trend, right? And America is the most powerful military in the world. America is culturally, if you want to call it culturally, the most influential in the world. In so many ways, everything's great in America. as they say. And people want to come to America. We don't find, just like if you go to India, for instance, there's the American embassy in New Delhi, and then the consulates in Mumbai, Chennai, Kolkata. People are lining up to apply for their American visa. We don't find them lining up We don't find huge queues of people lining up to go to Egypt, for instance. Now they're going to think it's a much older civilization than America. But people go to look at the old civilization, to look at the pyramids and the Sphinx. But otherwise, people want to come to America with the promise of there's so much opportunity for enjoyment because it's highly developed progress. But what is driving that progress is discontent with our present situation. Everyone could have lived like the Amish. The Amish were, the way the Amish are living was just normal. How many years ago? 250 years ago or something. That was just normal. The only thing is that they didn't change and everyone else changed. So you could have gone on living like that. It wasn't required to have space rockets and drones and iPads and Disneyland and all these things. But it's the feeling that we're insufficient. We have to do something different. We have to do something better so that we can better enjoy our lives. This desire drives material progress, but because we're never happy, even if you are the proprietor of the tallest building in the world, even if you win the Olympic gold medal for decathlon or whatever, no one's satisfied. You say, yeah, I'm very satisfied. I got the gold medal. Yeah, but you won't get it every time because the body will wear out and die. And then in old age, you can go on a TV show and speak about, yeah, I remember when I won the Olympic gold medal. As you're preparing to leave your body and get another body. Who's the fastest runner in the world? Who is the fastest runner in the world? The cheetah. CHEETAH. Not the someone who takes a video of him running and runs it at triple speed. He's not the fastest runner in the world, but the fastest land animal, and probably in water also, is the cheetah, a species of cat. So if you can take the fastest runner in the world and put them up against an average cheetah, and the cheetah will win. So if you want to run fast, material nature will give us a body in which we can run fast. Want to have a lot of sex? Human form's not very suitable for that. I was in Thailand for some time, so there's a saying, mi nun mi pu yin, which means if you have money, you have a girl. That's all. If you don't have money, you don't have a girl. So to get money, you need to work or steal it to get it from the government, and so many problems. And even then, it brings so many problems. If one is responsibly married, that responsibility brings so many problems. If one is irresponsible, then that also brings so many problems. Just have sex here, there, and everywhere. That brings so many. It used to bring social, what's the word? Criticism from, used to be not considered very good. But even in a society in which free sex, as it's called, it's not free, but they call it free sex, is allowed and encouraged, there are so many problems. Emotional problems will come, disease will come, stealing someone else's girlfriend means a fist in your face will come, or worse. So this identification with the body, it brings desire. Desire leads to endeavor. Endeavor leads to, that means activity, karma, which brings us from body to body to body. The idea that we don't want to be someone else's social construct, we don't want to be limited by what others think I should be, is good if it gives rise to the query at a deeper level, who am I actually? Am I this body? Why am I limited by social constructs and social situations that I didn't choose? The Vedic message that we should not be limited by the situation we're born into. We should not be limited by it. The Vedic message is that we've been born how many times? It's uncountable. We've had any uncountable numbers of situations that we identify with, and they're all wrong. When I was in a lizard body, I thought I was a lizard. When I was in a cat body, I thought I was a cat. When I was on the moon, I thought I was inhabitant of the moon. They're all wrong. All these identities are all causes of distress. So transgenderism is a subject of discussion, but more important is for us to consider transbodyism, which is going on. We're going from body to body to body in 8,400,000 species of life. If we want to change our gender, if we're not satisfied with our present construct or identity, we can have an easy journey to another body. That means if I'm in a male body and I desire to be a female, then in our next life we can get the body of a female. It's much easier than going through all these operations and this and that. But it's not easy. Nothing's easy in this world. And you'll be discontent, for sure. If anyone asks me, not this very likely, do you think I should medically change my gender? I'll tell them, you won't be content. You won't be satisfied, for sure. Well, I'm not satisfied now either, in this present situation. That's true, but whatever situation we're in material existence, we'll never be satisfied. And it's just part of the whole illusion of material existence, thinking that by changing my situation within material existence, I'll be satisfied. But that is the illusion that keeps us in material existence. I just change this and then I'll be happy. But we're never happy. So instead of changing from one material identity to another and being dissatisfied in all of them, we should find our real identity and change to that, or identify with it. Actually, when we understand our real identity, that I am a spiritual being, and we identify as that, then we feel fully satisfied. There's no other way to feel fully satisfied. And what is our identity? Simply to say, I'm a spiritual being, doesn't really tell us much. Then we have to understand. We need to be re-educated, because we're so out of touch with our real self. We need to be re-educated as to who we are. And that is the teaching of Bhagavad Gita. That is the teaching of Vedanta. That is the teaching of the whole Vedic literature. That there is God, there is the Supreme, there is Krishna. Our eternal relationship is with Krishna, God, is on the spiritual platform. Krishna is completely spiritual. We are also completely spiritual, but because we identify with the body, I am male, I am female, I am black, I am white, I am a soldier, I am a sailor, because we identify with it. Of course, we can't, as long as we're in the body, we have to identify with it to some extent. We have to, if we think, well, I'm not this body, so I won't feed the body, and then we have an easy journey to another body much quicker. But we should understand the purpose of the body. The human body is attained after many, many lifetimes, and it should be utilized for the sake of understanding that I'm not the body, I'm an eternal spiritual being, an eternal servant of Krishna. So we have to maintain the body so that it is healthy enough to pursue self-realization. That's all. Not more than that. Not indulge the body in unnecessary sense gratification. That's the problem with transgenderism or with non-transgenderism or any situation in this material world, is just misleading us as to the purpose of life. We should keep things as simple as possible on the material platform. Not get overly involved in our present identity. In other words, because we need to cultivate spiritual knowledge and spiritual practices, spiritual life, the best thing is to accept the situation that we're in, and from that situation that we're in, start cultivating spiritual practices. In other words, whatever the body may be, male, female, black, white, yellow, green, whatever. Whatever situation we're in, cultivate spiritual knowledge and spiritual practice. Now, it may be that the situation that we're in is particularly unfavorable for doing so, in which case, we're going to have to look into changing that. For instance, if our occupation is that of a butcher, that's not very favorable for spiritual cultivation, because a butcher's occupation involves unnecessarily violence and cruelty to animals. But a change, like I feel more like a woman than a man, or I feel more like a woman than a man, that feeling, it may be very strong, a very strongly felt emotion, but we should understand where it's coming from. It's coming from the emotional or mental platform which I have formed due to past karmas, past activities. That's not the real me. That's an illusory feeling. That is a feeling at a certain level, at a mental or emotional or psychological level. But deeper than that is the real me, who I really need to get in touch with. So we shouldn't be misled by all these things. Whatever body we're in, we have to act according to the needs of the body, but not necessarily according to the demands of the body. Therefore, self-control is needed. Spiritual life begins with understanding basic knowledge of who we are, but spiritual practice begins with self-control. If there's no self-control and no sense control, then practically we're living like animals, and there's no question of raising our consciousness. That's why so much nonsense is going on in the name of spiritualism. People feeling they're spiritual, but there's no attempt at sense control. I feel I'm very spiritually. I feel very spiritually. You're so beautiful. I want to enjoy a relationship with you, a spiritual relationship, but it's not a spiritual relationship. It's not spirit. It's just on the platform of lust. So spiritual knowledge is needed. Without that, and putting sense in, without that, then we pursue sense enjoyment as the purpose of life, and society must degrade more and more and more and more, because sense enjoyment doesn't bring satisfaction. And because we don't have any idea that there's anything beyond sense enjoyment, then what happens is we indulge in sense enjoyment, and we get a kick out of it. It's like a little what's that called? What's the word? Adrenaline rush. But then, I don't feel. After it, you don't feel good. Then you think, well, I need more adrenaline rush, and then it's like pumping drugs. You have to pump more and more and more and more to get the same effect, but you don't feel satisfied, and it destroys the body and destroys the mind and destroys everything. So similarly with sense gratification, we do it, we don't feel content, so we want to try something else, we want to try something more extreme, and in this way society degrades. So transgenderism, well, if we actually come to the platform of spiritual understanding, if it becomes widely accepted in human society that human life is meant for God realization, not for sense gratification, then all these questions, transgenderism, that it just won't arise, that's all. It only arises due to ignorance and propagation of ignorance within human society. So there are some thoughts. No doubt it won't be popular in certain quarters, but we should bring the light of Vedic knowledge on contemporary culture or lack of it, because there's so much confusion, so much going in the wrong direction in the name of progress. Hare Krishna. You're ready with a question. We have a mic. Do we have a mic for that? Question or comment?
Within our devotee society, so
the understanding. Can I anticipate the question? What if someone's already medically transgendered themselves and they want to take to Krishna consciousness? That question came up a few months ago, you asked me. Encourage them to chant Hare Krishna. Whatever situation anyone's in, we can encourage them to chant Hare Krishna.
That's like, you know, they get initiated, what happens,
Yeah, so many questions arise due to people messing up their lives due to misdirected society. That's why we really want this Krishna conscious movement is meant for making a cultural revolution so that people don't mess up their lives as a norm. It's normal to be messed up. One way or the other. People are messed up psychologically. Emotionally. That's pretty much normal, isn't it? And then people get into drug abuse and they're trying to escape from that problem or something like this. Or they become emotionally cruel. They don't care about other people and they use their bodies for sex, and then that causes more traumas to other people. The whole society needs a great reset, but a spiritual reset. Yeah, so what were you going to say?
So there's a lot of argument because there's some need of some material social construct that is conducive for devotional service to be practiced. And the perception is that the Vedic social model is what people today call as patriarchal, and etc. So then the debate ensues as to why to choose that model versus why can't we just act on the spiritual
platform? Why can't we directly go to the spiritual platform bypassing the social model given by Krishna? Well, Krishna teaches, first of all, in Bhagavad Gita that we're not the body, but then he says that the Vedic social system is made by himself. Why is that? The Vedic social system is, well, first of all, we need a social system. We need some kind of social system because everyone has different functions in society. Not everyone's going to be a teacher, not everyone's going to be a farmer, not everyone's going to be a cook, not everyone's going to be a doctor. We need different roles in human society. That means that there has to be some kind of structure. Some people are going to lead, and that means some have to follow. This idea, make everyone the same, it's unrealistic. So Krishna made this social system in such a way that svesvai karmanya bharata sanghitim labhate naraha. Whatever one's role is in human society, one can achieve spiritual perfection. It's based on cooperation rather than competition and exploitation. So to say that we should go, why don't we just come immediately to the spiritual platform? Well, that's not so easy as we see. Just to immediately transcend all material contaminations. We need to do that gradually, and we need to live with other humans, so we need some kind of social system. So better have Krishna's system. Those who say that we will just go along with society as it is, what does that mean? The present society is, in Krishna's language, asuric, demoniac. So it's very difficult to pursue spiritual cultivation in a society which is going full speed the other direction. It's like trying to run computer programs on a different operating system. Can you run Mac programs on a PC? With some adjustment, you can run Microsoft programs on an Apple computer with some adjustment. It's like transgenderism or something. You artificially put a Windows platform and you can do it. And practically speaking, we see that those who say that we don't need, what they're saying is we don't need Krishna's social system, we can just go directly to Krishna consciousness. Well, that's what the Sahajiyas say. And practically speaking, we see that the Vedic social system, one of its main purposes is to control and channel sexual desires which drag us down. But they're very loose because that's the norm in the demoniac society. Then what's binding us in this material world? Maitunagara, the chains of sexual desire. There has to be a conscious intent to overcome that. That's why even in any society, practically in the world, they may not be so spiritually advanced as in Vedic society, but there is separation between male and female and different roles between male and female. And historically speaking, when those roles become relaxed in society, that is the beginning of the downfall of a civilization. There's a book being written which has been analyzed. All the great civilizations, now we're thinking America is the greatest civilization ever. That's what they thought in Rome, that's what they thought in Athens, in Sparta, in Croatia. No, Corinth, Carthage, Babylon, not Croatia. That's wishful thinking of the Croatians. Actually, Lithuania, if you ever heard of Lithuania, that they used to have a big kingdom at one point. Poland used to have. Adolf Hitler thought, this is it. We're the Germans. The British thought that. The sun never sets on the British Empire. Prabhupada went there and said, if the sun never sets on the British Empire, why does it never shine in London? So all these, they all thought, our civilization is the greatest ever. They all fall down. America's on the way down. Everyone knows it. You can MAGA as much as you like, but it's on the way down, if it was ever up. Up in the sense of being economically prosperous and militarily strong, but that's at the cost of tremendous... The British Empire and American Empire all built on massive exploitation of other peoples and of animals and of the whole environment. That's not really civilization at all. Civilization based on exploitation, well, the word civil, it's not civil. And it's very foolish also, as we see, because for years the climate activists have been saying, look, you got to stop burning all these fossil fuels, you got to slow down the civilization, you got to slow it down, otherwise we're heading for ecological disaster. And now it's upon us and it's too late. And if there is anyone left to write history books in future, they will wonder, how is it that the whole of human society, why didn't they do it? They're all intelligent, they had PhDs and universities, and why didn't they stop all this climatic disaster when they knew it was coming? Just so that they could put their rockets into space and drive around in fast cars. So it's civilization with no brain is not really a civilization, or a brain that's malfunctioning. Even materially it's malfunctioning. What to speak of spiritually. So this fascinates, why are devotees who have this highest knowledge, is that highest knowledge is actually knowledge. Everything else goes on the name of, well, your GSU, Georgia State University. What they teach there is not knowledge. That can be called information and speculation, but it's not knowledge. Sorry. That's not knowledge. The word knowledge in Gita, in Bhagavad Gita, that means it begins with understanding the difference between the soul and the body. That is knowledge. Etaj jnanam iti proktam, ajnanam yad atonyata. This is knowledge, Krishna says, and everything else, it's ignorance. Ignorance is always equated with darkness. Ajnana timirandhasya, referring to myself in the darkness of ignorance. They're playing that in the mind. Avidya timira, the darkness of ignorance. The holy name, avidya timira, tapana rupi, hridgagani biraj. The holy name rises in the sky of the heart like the sun to dissipate the darkness of ignorance. So why those who have knowledge are enamored by this so-called civilization? It's kimascharya matav param. What can be more amazing than this? Yeah. So? You're asking a question. You've got all the answers. You have. You're taking out the books and giving them. That's all the answers.
How do we understand about, you know, in Shikhandi, you know, for example, in the previous
Shikhandi, yeah. Well, it is possible by mystic power what happened. He was born as a female, but then by the blessing of the yaksha became a male. That's possible. We find also this. Buddha became illa by curse. That's possible. Highly advanced mystic yogis, they can, by their desire, you can change from a mouse to a cat to a dog to a tiger, and back to a mouse. Such things are possible. We don't believe it because we didn't see it in our biological test tube. But mystic yogis, they can do that. But what's that got to do with transgenderism?
Sometimes devotees argue that it was also there in the Vedic times. So, you know, what's wrong with this? You know,
it's there in the Vedic times, and lust, greed, anger were also there in the Vedic times. You have to know what is the ideal and what to follow. The fact that Shikhandi had a body change, sex change, that's never been promoted as the ideal. It's recorded, but it's never promoted as the ideal. Indra insulted his guru. It's never promoted. It's there in the Vedic literature, but it's not promoted as the ideal. Everything's there in the Vedic literature. Brahma is chasing after his daughter. Does that mean you should chase after your daughter for sex? They're in the Vedic literature. That's why you need a guru to teach you the Vedic literature. Otherwise, you pick it up and think that, what about Vishnu himself becomes as Mohini Murti? How about that? Ardha Narishvara. There are so many temples in India of Ardha Narishvara. Half the body is Shiva and half the body is Shakti. But you can't do that. You can't be half male, half female. Lord Shiva can do that. Shiva and Shakti can do that. So, Hare Krishna. Give out the books, that people have a higher understanding. Male, I think it should be female. What's this book? Janmadhyasya yaton vyadha. Just lift you up beyond all this confusion. There's one book, it's given the title, Beyond Illusion and Doubt. Beyond Illusion and Doubt. Very good title for the book. Is that the one of Srila Prabhupada speaking to about the scholars?
Yeah.
Guru Maharaj, it's basically a summary of dialectic spiritualism.
Yeah, they left some of the things out because they thought that the presentations weren't proper in the first place.
Dialectic spiritualism was like
much bigger book, yeah.
Beyond Illusion and Doubt is a big book. Beyond Illusion and Doubt is a big book.
But the original dialectic spiritualism is much bigger.
Yes, this big.
Hare Krishna. Lancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhu bhyavacha. Patita nam pavane bhyo vaishnave bhyo namo nama. Dante nidaya churnakang padiyo nipatya kridva chaka kushata. Hey, sadhava sakala eva vihaya durat gauranga chanda charne kuritana raga parivadatu jano yata tata va nanumakarana bhayang vicharayama hari rasa madira amadati mata bhuvivilokama nartama nirvishna. Hare Krishna.